Hello, welcome to a pared down big show because I haven't heard from Muller. I thought he would turn up for this, but I sent him a message asking if he's all right, and he hasn't replied, which worries me. So hopefully he's okay. If you're out there watching Muller, he's not in the chat room either. So get well. Hello, Swamp Rat. You are Deep Pan and Ben. So we've got a bit of a cut down show. It's not going to be a super long one, I would have guessed, because there's just the three of us. Patrice, how the devil are you, mate? Saw you earlier on in the Mac show, of course.
Yeah, I was obviously in the Mac show. No, I'm doing good. Like, loads to do and, like, just busy.
Good. That's all right. Nice to see you. Are you having to work in the office every day, or are you working from home quite a lot?
I'm usually working in the office. I've always been someone who likes to go in. I like to interact with people.
Yeah, too, right.
But, like, the occasional, like yesterday, for example, I worked from home, like whenever I want to.
Deep Pan has suggested that Muller is getting drunk in Parliament Square because to celebrate the advent of our departure from the EU, which will happen in 3 hours, 45 minutes. We're not going to be around for that.
Yeah, I guess it is that close now. Wow.
It's that close. It's like New Year, but with a bit of shit in prospect.
Yeah.
I'm done with it now. We're doing it. We're leaving. It's okay. Patrice is going to bring his passport next week.
Yep.
So we're fine.
My visa's still good.
Yeah, you're right. You're fine. Yeah. Well, you're my new trading partner.
Yeah.
you get to clear me chlorinated software.
Awesome.
Jeffrey, how are you, mate?
I'm doing well. And it's awesome to get to hang out with both of you.
Looking forward to having us in the rest of the world.
Yes.
ROW. The week in tech then. We've got a whole pile of stories to go through. Well, two plus the one I found at the shortest notice possible. But I think I might have found a cool one, actually.
Still a pile.
I may have found a cool one. We might as well just do it in order, really, because there's no point in having a fight over who's first in the chat room.
So ladies first.
Well, quite, absolutely. Patrice, go away. Post.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about?
Give me 1 second because I'm literally just
and we should, and we should have started. And we clearly should have started with Dev. That's the night this is. It's like...
So unfortunately, I'm going to post the Apple News link because I didn't have time to convert it. The story is basically it's DoorDash. I don't know whether you're aware of one of the many million, no, I don't know, at least a couple food delivery services.
I can't show an Apple News story on the computer, okay. So you're going to have to just talk about this. Go on then.
Yeah, I'll give me a second. I'll convert it and put it in the chat and everything. Yeah, it's basically, as I said, one of the many food delivery services. They're kind of all the same and they're kind of all crap. And the story is basically that DoorDash still, to this day, like after being in the news for basically, well, having drivers be paid by, well, with the tips that the customers would pay, and they got caught or like it got known that they were doing that, so they changed it, and still, like it's basically still a crapshoot. DoorDash is still not really paying people like a fair salary or anything. I think in the article they mention like some people are making something like $1.45 an hour. Like after you've removed like all the costs that you have for your car and the gas and everything, it's $1.45 an hour.
Right.
And I'm starting like knowing also what I know from like my wife and my family. I'm starting to question whether the whole gig economy and all of that is working. Like, is it worth it? Is it working? Or are we just exploiting people?
Well, to be fair as well, though, Patrice, it's not the only economy that's exploiting people, because there's an awful lot of, particularly here in construction, there's a lot of people on 0 hours contracts that don't know if they're going to work the following day. They just get a call, right, turn up. They get paid quite well when they're doing it, but... Mm-hmm. They are on 0 hours. And if you look at Amazon, I mean, our Amazon delivery drivers, there's one that's come up and just bangs my porch, doesn't even look for a bell, and then bangs my window and sets the alarm off if I'm not there, and then discovers the bell and presses the bell. It's because they're so intent on offloading the package because they're not going to get paid unless they get through them in record time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, they get, at least they get paid something, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it's kind of the same issue. Like, we're not paying people enough for anything.
Yeah, but we can't be naive either because we don't want to pay for it. That's the whole point. You know, why am I going to Amazon? Why am I getting free delivery, etc.? Paying an extra £2 on the product item. And that, I discovered that the other week, actually. Bryony came to me and said, I want some nail polish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's £3.18. Okay, fine. So you owe me £3. We'll call it quits on that. So, because I make her pay for her stuff. She came up, she gave me £3. I went on to buy it. Because I'd got my Prime account on, it said it was £6.20. And I hang on.
Oh.
So then Sharon went on and saw it on her. Sure enough, it's £3.18, but it's £3 delivery, which Bryony hadn't said. So it's like actually Prime isn't any cheaper there.
Yeah, which I mean, I think in that case is fine and it's okay. I'm just starting to question whether it's working. I mean,
no, but my point is,
I go to
Amazon because it's cheap. And I want it cheap, so I am fueling their oppression of their workers in that sense. Mm-hmm. So my conscience is not clear, is it?
No, it's not. Like, I mean, neither is mine. I'm not sure it's exactly the same because, as far as I know, at least like Amazon workers get paid more than $1 an hour, but it's the same. I agree, it's the same principle.
Yeah, Deepan saying, in the UK, Amazon have started running TV ads talking about the advantage of working in Amazon centres and even offering tours.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Do you do that in the States, Jeff?
I don't watch regular TV, meaning commercial television. So if they're running commercials like that, I have no idea. You know what? I'll pay attention the next time I'm hanging out at the bar, which is probably in just a few hours.
I can tell you from experience, like we see on the regular orders where it's like $4 to like deliver something that's to drive 10 miles. And that doesn't work. Like the math simply doesn't work out. Like I think the cost that the IRS estimates for like per mile of driving is, I think, 60 cents. So for 10 miles, you would need at least $6 to just even cover the cost for like your car, depreciation, gas, taxes, like all of that, insurance. So, I agree. It is like on us. We're not paying for it. But on the other hand, nobody seems to care.
The problem I'm having on the Amazon side is that so many of the local stores have chosen to stop carrying a wide range of products. And and so they're driving me to Amazon to buy things that I used to get locally.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's part of a vicious cycle because the more people are buying on Amazon, the fewer products the local retailers want to carry. And if we could figure out how to break that cycle, I think that would be great. But then what happens to those people that are now Amazon drivers that are stuck having to deal with exactly what you're talking about, Ewan, where they are so desperate to get all of these deliveries made that they're like banging on your window to get your attention, or just throwing a package at your door or in your driveway and taking off. On the DoorDash side, the DoorDash drivers that I've encountered here, and I actually haven't used the food delivery services here, but that's primarily because I've talked with the drivers. We have DoorDash, we have Grubhub, and then we have a local one called Hungry Buffs. Mm-hmm. And all three of them are the same. If you're sitting in a restaurant and one of these drivers comes in to pick up an order and it's not ready, their stress level goes through the roof because mm-hmm. now they have to sit and wait for that order. And that means that they don't get money for another order because they're just having to sit there.
Yeah. And I've experienced myself because I've like joined my wife. I've experienced it myself. And like, I mean, some restaurants are even hostile. Like they will not talk to, despite the fact that they accept the order, that they have signed up for the service, they will not talk to the delivery drivers as long as there's anybody else in the area, any other customer. Like someone might come in after me and the guy behind the counter will talk to the guy behind me first before he takes care of me. Like stuff like that. So it's really baffling sometimes, like how bad it is and how much I think DoorDash and the other services take advantage of people that simply need the money or think they will make money.
I saw an article just recently where one of the gig food delivery services like this mm-hmm. was just adding restaurants to their service list without ever talking to the restaurants. Mm-hmm. So there'd be these restaurants and a driver would show up for food and the restaurant had no idea why the person was there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a crappy thing to do on many levels because now you've screwed a customer. Mm. You have a restaurant that's pissed off at you. You've screwed a driver and it's just a bad public face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's how most delivery services started, because until they have like all the restaurants signed up and in their network, and like the restaurants have all those, like you can see them nowadays, like that they have little tablets where they get all the orders in. Unless like until you have that like number of restaurants that people care about, that's literally what I know, because my wife told me, like she's been doing this for years, and like she said in the beginning, they would literally send you to a restaurant and have you order. And I think even today it still happens. I think McDonald's orders, you still have to go through the drive-thru and pick it up for you. And you do not get paid extra for that.
Wow.
Interestingly as well, though, I mean, there's a point here from Deepan. I think most people do care. They still want cheap, but they still want food, mm-hmm. cheap deliveries in a quick and cheap way. And he's right. But I mean, I've never heard of DoorDash until you posted that into the Slack room, mm-hmm. into the chat room. I know about Uber Eats and I know about Deliveroo and that kind of stuff.
I think they're all more or less the same. I mean, I know some services mm-hmm. pay by like the mile or the time or something, but they're kind of all the same. Like the cost, or I mean, the what you see in the app as a customer is. The delivery cost is net negligible. Like it's like a couple dollars. And I don't know where that would work. I mean, in New York, it would probably take you a long time to get from point A to point B. Like including myself in that, I think we as consumers and we as customers, we have to think about that and say, I mean, one option is to simply tip properly and say, okay, I mean, and that's another issue in itself, that a lot of people simply don't tip or they only give you like a dollar or two. But we have to be aware of this. Like mm-hmm. there are people that are making almost no money at all.
But we're not going to be, because people don't, like I said, people, I don't know who DoorDash are at all. They're not in the UK as far as I'm aware. So it's never going to happen.
I said, it's the same thing if you order with Uber Eats or with Grubhub or with like one of the, I said, thousands of services around the world.
Well, we perceive that it is. I don't know if we know that DoorDash is the same as. But.
Well, I mean, I know people that do DoorDash and Uber Eats, and I can tell you they are more or less the same. Like, it's very simple. Like, go into the app and look at what they charge for delivery. and look at how far away you are from that restaurant, and then do the math.
Yeah.
And take into account that they might have to drive to the restaurant as well, like at least like a couple, like a small short distance at least.
Yeah. Magic Jam's confirming in the chat room my bit about the construction industry with zero ass contracts. Mm-hmm. So. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was listening for your comment about the construction industry.
Yeah, no, he's put down two or three days a week, especially labourers. Before you had site labourers who'd been slightly less per day, but would be on site 5 days a week for the length of the contract. Now you get them through an agency for an exact number of days you need.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all on 0 hours with that agency as well. So the agency has no employment liability for them and that kind of stuff. No mm-hmm. holiday pay required, that type of thing.
Yeah.
There's no protections.
That's a hard way for a worker to live.
In general, from what I've seen of the way that zero-hours contracts have been worked in the jobs that I've been around, those people do make good money when they make good money because it's 0 hours. They're charged at a premium to the services, and they make decent money if they're working. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them actually end up with full-time jobs. 24/7. They're out working constantly. So. Not 24/7, you know what I mean, but a lot of them are getting 7 days a week if they want it.
It's kind of like being self-employed without the benefit of being self-employed.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you take all the risk.
Yeah. I mean, they'll pay your national insurance and they'll deduct it at source and they'll deduct the tax at mm-hmm. source in the same way, like you're an employee, but you're not getting any benefits associated with that. And if they say the following day, sorry, no work, and they never say there's at work again, that's it. You're effectively sacked.
Mm-hmm.
If you find someone mm-hmm. who's if you find someone who likes you in that organization, then you get work. And if you find someone who doesn't like you in that organization, you don't get work.
I think it's on us. I think it's also something we should pay attention to, because like the companies are taking advantage of people this way.
I think you're right, but sadly I think companies will always take advantage, and as long as consumers are paying for it without saying a word, which they won't, then it will continue. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Jeffrey, what was your story, mate?
My story, hopefully, is a little bit more uplifting.
Sorry for being a downer.
So I'll start this one off by saying Star Trek has had a way of predicting the future of technology. Excuse me. Cell phones, the flip phone, and anyhow. So this to me is Star Trek predicting the future of technology again, but in this case, it's Geordi's visor from Star Trek: The Next Generation. So Microsoft has been working on a project for a few years called Project Tokyo, and it's like this like a VR AR sort of thing that you put over your eyes, and it's designed for people who have visual impairments so that they can identify objects and essentially see, although it's not in the same way that that people that don't have vision issues see. And so anyhow, this has been going on for a few years, and now it looks like we're getting to the point where Project Tokyo is going to be something that people can actually get. And so the whole idea of having a device like this that gives people the ability to see when they have like very bad, very low vision. This seems like a really cool use of technology.
That's
and
awesome.
Finally, something in artificial intelligence and augmented reality that we can look at and say, okay, this is a really good use of this technology.
This is brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, this is where technology is at its best, like helping people that have a disadvantage to like yeah, be better in life or like have an advantage more.
Yes. Yeah. And in one aspect, it also follows the idea that if you want to see where the technology that we're using in business and just general life is going, look at where the technology is in gaming today. And to that end, this is based off of HoloLens technology.
So this thing is effectively, if you're blind, it's going to detect presence of things and then alert you with audio cues as to the presence of that thing. So if you're walking into a person or object, it will click and tell you that you're about to do it. And it'll give you, because it's stereophonic, it'll give it you from the left, from the right, which will indicate which direction this thing is coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Jesus. And if you have some level of vision, it will highlight things for you as well.
I love this kind of stuff, I have to say, and one of the frustrations that I've got is my mom suffers from Parkinson's, and when the Emma watch came out a couple of years ago, it was like, wow, that's great. A couple of years, that'd be great if I could get that for my mom. And here we are 2 years down the line, and I can't. And it doesn't look like I'm going to probably be able to get it for her in her lifetime, which upsets me a little bit. And it's... That's the thing that bothers me about this stuff is there's a bit of me is like, just don't work it. I'm amazed by it. It's great, but you shouldn't have told me. That teaser is heartbreaking to people that are suffering with disabilities and who would like it for their loved ones. So you say, right, my blind person who, your brother, sister, mother, aunt, who goes out regularly and now can't because they're losing their sight rapidly due to a ridiculous condition that's you know, degenerative and has come on from no apparent reason. This would help them, but they're never going to be able to get it before they die. I just find that's heartbreaking to me.
I agree. Yep. Excuse me. Now, this technology, it looks like will be available, to a degree, it's available already. So hopefully this is something that can get a more widespread adoption soon, because there's people out there that can really benefit from this technology. And so the sooner we can get a good version of this out there, the better. I guess they did a lot of work, research work with this technology at the Paralympics a few years ago. So they had a whole team that just stayed with, with the Paralympics team and learned how they do things and how they sense their environment so that they could make this device fit the way they perceive the world more transparently, which I think is great.
Mm. Yeah, there's some great stuff here. I just wish the process would. Yeah, I don't know. Because the thing is, it's like I used to watch stuff on Tomorrow's World, which is a program here in the 70s and 80s, 60s, 70s and 80s in the and 90s, I guess, in the UK. And it was like, here's what you'll be able to do in the future. Here's what you'll be able to do in the future. And I never applied an expectation of it being delivered. Yeah, all right, okay. Yeah, all right, okay. Because it was pie in the sky stuff. It was vaporware.
Mm-hmm.
But now we tend to see stuff. And actually, probably this is no more advanced than it ever was on Tomorrow's World, but it appears less like vaporware and more like it.
Yes,
it should be here soon, and that's what the expectation changes with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
Yes, and hard. I don't recall if they said when they're expecting this to be widely available. I'm scanning back through this. I don't recall. Anyhow. So, well, their AI for Accessibility program, Microsoft's AI for Accessibility program, launched in 2018 with 25 million going to
So they've chucked good money at this, haven't they? So
that's cool.
Yeah, they've chucked good money at this. 25 million going to universities to grab onto it and see stuff. And they've got a market for it because, you know, they reckon there's 39 million people in the countries that are involved, US, UK, China, Japan, and India, with 285 million global who will benefit from this improvement.
Yes. And yeah, and once technology like this is out there in the wild and being used, we'll learn a lot more about how the technology is actually impacting people, which means changes and improvements. And at some point, as I extrapolate this out, then we do get to a point where it's more like truly like Geordie LaForge's visor, where it gives people who don't have vision or have extremely bad vision a version of vision where they can see.
Or in Geordie's case, might even see some things better than other people.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, seeing other things. Magic Man's put in, I remember watching it with a guy called Kieran Prendergast. He was demonstrating the first CD, and he smeared jam on it and then wiped it off and put it in to play it. Actually, Frank Bloff did that as well on Breakfast Television with the first CDs. Yeah, no. It's a good program. Missed that. Magic Man put in as well that the benefit for employers, though, is that they get and keep the best people because the ones that are dodgy, I guess, you know, they turn up and go, sorry, mate, don't come back because you're crap, rather than them being tied into their employment and them stuck with them forever. And having to go through tribunal processes and stuff, which cost a fortune. So there is a positive there in that. Well done. My story, because it's Super Bowl weekend, I thought I'll have a look and see what the Super Bowl's doing. And the most boring game of the year in the NFL season is about to happen this weekend. But
yep. That's funny. I had no idea.
But it's, don't worry, I'm not going to talk about the Super Bowl. What I'm going to talk about is Super Bowl ads, and particularly two, because voice assistants are going to feature quite heavily this year, it would seem. Amazon has released a Super Bowl commercial featuring Ellen DeGeneres. Bet that was cheap. I bet she.
Oh, yeah.
I bet she volunteered to do this.
Yeah.
With her partner, Portia de Rossi. So I bet that was, two for one, at least.
Mm-hmm. Oh, worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they probably bought them lunch at a little takeaway restaurant.
Yeah. So they get, you know, are we going? Yeah, we're going out. So it's hitting the LGBT community straight away. Then Ellen says, turn the heating down. And then they're going out. Why she doesn't say off, I don't know. But they're going out. And they say, I wonder what it would be like without Alexa. And it goes through some quite humorous episodes of Queen Elizabeth asking the A-lady to tell a joke, and it's actually a bloke dressed in a jester's suit, and then a woman sits in front of a fire and says, turn the heating down, A-lady, and a maid reaches into a fire, pulls out a burning log and throws it out the window.
Oh, my God.
funny.
And it actually, I laughed at it when I watched it, and I thought it was quite funny and quite humorous until it went on and on and on and on. And I'd like, okay, you could have stopped by now. That's, you know, you've had it. This is a 30-second commercial, not the full-blown shebing that you've done. But then if you go on and look at the one for Google, they've got a completely different tack. They've got an old white guy who is, I would say, clearly sitting saying, trying to remember who you perceive to be a dead wife in the show, Google show ad, sorry, like a show advert. So show me pictures of Loretta. And it kind of struck a thing for me about, well, those are two completely different demographics that they're going for with that advert, and two completely different perceived benefits in the sense of, one is nostalgic and one is home automation and cutting edge based to a little bit of a degree. And I just wonder what the barrier to entry is for people. What are they trying to get over? What kind of hill are Amazon and Google trying for? I think the Amazon advert is going to severely piss off a whole load of households across the world, because the A word is said probably 30 times.
Yeah, that's so, going to trigger a lot of things.
Yes. But Amazon supposedly has a tone that goes out with the commercials.
Right.
So when the people in the commercial say "A lady," the Echo or Echo compatible devices in your house don't actually trigger it.
Oh, right. Okay. That's good then. I didn't know that.
But actually, this is something we can test right now if you want. Hold on. Let me unplug my headphones.
Because when it came up with "tell me a joke," mine span round when I played
it. Crank up my volume and see what... Yeah, it didn't trigger.
All right, okay.
Good.
I'm pretty sure when she asked to tell the joke, it triggered mine. I'm almost certain it did. In fact, hang on, let's press it.
The turning down the fire, bit was really funny.
Exactly. Once if they'd done about four of these and then stopped, it would be hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it didn't do it this time. But it's a minute and 30 long, and that's just ridiculously long. Ridiculously long.
Yeah, they could have broken it up into three commercials.
Yeah. And then
each one has a different set of things. And yeah.
But that's what they've been like doing for years now. Like the Super Bowl commercial itself is usually like 30 seconds, and then they always produce a longer version of it for the web probably.
Yeah, the longest play in the whole of the Super Bowl is actually a commercial.
That's funny.
The longest sustained period of action ever in the.
Well, I don't know. I think the concert piece is usually pretty long too.
Oh yeah, that's 30 minutes of Janet Jackson getting the boobs out, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, how about that? Exactly.
Anyone else?
So I should have been watching the Super Bowl.
Who's performing this year?
Not a clue.
Right.
See. Clearly they can clear.
Performing at Super Bowl 2020. Jennifer Lopez.
Halftime show.
Jennifer Lopez.
Oh.
Wow. Super Bowl, kickoff time, date, TV channel. The other problem I think you get with this is it's like a lot of the games that we get in the UK and watch, it's they're kicked off, you know, sort of 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. US time, because, you know, it fits in with the Sunday day thing. And then the Super Bowl, they always don't kick it off till like 8 p.m., 9 p.m. Eastern. And it's just like, oh, come on.
I think that depends on the location. Like, I remember it was a little bit earlier than that.
It's good that the 49ers are playing, because I remember Joe Montana when I was a kid. I always loved the 49ers as a kid, even when there was no American football over here. But it's kicking off at 6:30 Eastern time, so it doesn't kick off until 11 p.m. in the UK. So
yeah,
I'll be flat out by 10 o'clock. I'm knackered. Can't do that.
Yeah, I mean... For me, it's midnight, and that means, like, I mean, I have to work on Monday morning.
How cheap is the cheapest ticket for Super Bowl? Have a stab.
I can't even imagine, but I'm going to assume it's something stupid like $500.
Try $4,308.
Holy crap!
And how, that's the cheapest. How expensive is the most expensive ticket?
$25,000.
For this amount of money, I'd want to be stood next to J-Lo when she's singing, $385,000.
That's absolute insanity.
That's obscene. I'd pay that if 50% of it was going for charity, but...
Mm-hmm. All right, so my big takeaway from all the numbers you tossed around is that at 4:30 Mountain Time on Sunday is when I should go shopping, because yes. Everyone else is going to be at their televisions.
Using Deliveroo or Uber Eats or...
using Grubhub to get something to eat.
I need some wings. I need me some wings and beer.
Oh, you would be surprised.
Oh, right. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host. It's a great service that they offer. You can get loads of stuff. Don't use our offer code if you want in managed VPS services, because at the moment they've got a 50% offer deal. But if you do use our stuff, then it's... it'll be BTN20, and that'll get you 20% off all the hosting services that you have with them through BTN. And it's for returning customers as well as new customers, so you will get it. But all they need from you is a recognition on the socials. So get yourself out there on Twitter and Facebook and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. You need to do that, because that is the only thing we need out of you. If you're in the BTM army and you love the fact that we've got these shows, then get out there and do that, please. And the same thing for IMN Max, at IMN Max. Thanks for supporting Ash British Tech. These guys are brilliant. They're based right here in Birmingham. They're good pals of the network now and the show. And they will help you sort your Mac out. So if you've got an errant Mac, even if it's a legacy one, so Apple won't touch it because it's over 5 years old, these guys will pop it open. They'll solder the logic boards and that kind of stuff, save you replacing it. They'll look for the cheapest possible fix that they can give you, but say the cheapest as in most the cost effective, I would say, probably that's a better word. But they will also give you a warranty with all repairs that they have, so they are warranted, and they are definitely a must-have service. If you would like to use them, make sure that you mention that you've heard about them on BTN. And you will get a discount as a result, because returning customers from BTN get looked after. So check out at IMN Max. They also do data recovery if you've burned something off your disk and you want to get it back. Give them a shout. We had a photographer on last week say, does anyone know anything? And we replied with at Max. He said, yep, we can help. So there you go. Check them out. Package your stuff up. Send it up here on special delivery. It'll get here. They'll do it. They'll send it straight back to you on special delivery. You won't even notice. It'll be felt like you've gone round the corner. That's good. Right. Have you got a cool thing for us? It's only a short show tonight because we had a bit of a guest meltdown, but the two reliable people have turned up. So
even if they weren't late, or at least I was.
Oh, that doesn't matter, mate. Especially the fact we've only taken 37 minutes to get this far. Give us a cool thing, Patrice.
Yeah, I thought I would do something a little bit more geeky and like working really well with TSO Host again. It is called Nextcloud. It is one of the like self-hosted cloud storage solutions. So imagine, I don't know, iCloud, like iCloud storage or Dropbox or OneCloud, like all of those cloud storage solutions. But you can run it on your own server, like for whatever reason, like you have sensitive data you don't want to put on like one of the other services, or I don't know, you just don't trust them, whatever the reason is, you just want to have something on your own. This is the solution for you. It is free. They have a professional, like an extended enterprise version for like bigger companies. But the basic community edition, open source edition is completely free. They don't bother you at all. Like there's no pop-up that tells you to like sign up for the big solution or whatever. You just install it on your TSO Host server, for example, or any other server, and run it. And you install a client. There's an iOS app that works really well, like kind of what you would expect. And it just works. Like you just throw your files up there and you can access them. So setup is, I mean, you need some skills. I'm not going to lie. Like you should at least know what you're doing. I mean, if you have a server and you want that. But it's not too complicated. I mean, it's basically like WordPress. Like you throw it on it, like you throw the the files on the server, open up the browser, and like it guides you through the setup. It's not too complicated. So highly recommend it. As I said, it's free. It's under nextcloud.com or click the link.
Excellent, mate. Like that. Good stuff.
There's a version for that you can install on Raspberry Pi. So I've done it before. I screwed up some other stuff on that installation unrelated to Nextcloud. So I need to go back in and do it again. But, you know, Raspberry Pi is your own personal cloud server.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy.
No, excellent, mate. Like that. Good stuff. Jeffrey, what have you got for us?
Mine isn't sexy, but not all of us have the luxury of living near you where we can go to iMinMax. So it's Apple's iPhone battery replacement service.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm still rocking my iPhone 10, but the battery, it was pretty much shot. So, excuse me, before I took off for a week in Las Vegas for a conference, I was thinking, you know, I really need to deal with this battery because I can't make it through half a day on a charge. So I just need a new battery in here. So I set up the appointment, went in and, excuse me, gave them my phone, went and hung out at a coffee shop about a block away for, it was like 90 minutes and just worked on stuff there, went back to the Apple store and my phone was done. Brand new battery. They even polished up the whole phone for me. So it looked brand new. And didn't have to reinstall anything. I just popped my case back on and went on my way. And it was $69 to have a brand new battery put in my iPhone 10. And it's just it was incredibly convenient and not expensive. And it was great. So I was able to head off to the conference and not worry about the charge on my battery the whole time I was there.
I've never had bad service out of Apple. I mean, you know, sometimes I'm getting a service off them that I don't believe I should be paying for or I should need, but when they do it, it's done properly.
Yes. Yeah. I did have an incident a few years ago where it could have gone horribly bad with Apple customer service, but it did not. I had cracked the screen on my iPhone 7, took it in to get it repaired. They bricked the phone. Just like, they're like, we have no idea how it happened, but when we're doing the screen calibration, the phone completely bricked. We're sorry, here's a brand new iPhone 7.
Wow. Good. On them. Like that. My cool thing is the DJI Mavic Mini. Now, I know people have had these for quite a while, but I ordered the combo kit because I wanted the prop guards and the box and all that kind of stuff, and they didn't ship out until end of December to start with, and I only got mine last week. But I have had a whale of a time with it this week. This is a little, this might be a little bit jerky on the feed, but I promise you it's ultra smooth. So these are the quick shot modes where it goes like a pan back, you know, like you get at the end of a 1950s Western. They had to hire a helicopter to go back and that kind of stuff. This is the circle mode where it just disappears around you. And you highlight yourself and it just follows you then. And even if you start walking in the circle mode, it will still track and follow you. Then the next one is the helix mode, which it'll do the same. As long as you're moving slowly, it'll do it. If you move too quickly, it won't go out of the helix mode. But the thing goes around in a huge spiral, ever ascending. Here we go. It's off and running. As I say, this might jerk a little bit on the feed or on the actual thing, but it is so smooth and such a pleasure to fly. It's rock solid. You put it at a height and it just stays there. It doesn't. The wind doesn't touch it that badly either. You get your iPhone and you shove it in the controller and it interacts with the thing so you can see where you're flying first-person view on the thing. And it's just brilliant. And there's me walking away into the sunset. £369 for the Mavic Mini drone, and if you want the combo kit, it's $469, I think. It's well worth it. The thing I will say is that with a 2.5K camera on it, the quality of the footage is amazing. I've blown it up to 4K and you can't tell the difference. The flexibility in the way that it flies, it's a semi-pro drone, effectively. You've got a decent, like, kind of, if you said you'd get yourself a past an entry-level DSLR, that's what this thing is. It's 249 grams, fully laden with a battery, which means it falls outside UK legislation. So you don't have to register yourself as a flyer. You don't have to register the drone and put a unique identifier on it. It's just a toy drone, plain and simple. And as a result, you can fly it pretty much anywhere. You've got the restrictions on there. So if you're really close to airport stuff, it actually won't let you take the drone off. It comes up and it says, no, this is an authorization zone. This is where you've got to say, yeah, I clearly understand where I am. I know what I'm doing. I'm only going to do it short distances and low level. And there's certain zones where if you're in the pipeline where it filters into the runways and the airports and that kind of stuff, the drone will not let you take off, plain and simple. So you cannot be irresponsible with it in that regard.
This is really cool.
Oh, it is superb. Yeah. The flights are superb. The dynamics of it is superb. The handling of it is superb. You can customize the controls. So you've got setup mode 1, mode 2, which is a standard. I never liked either of those modes because actually what I wanted to do was go forward and turn left and right rather than bank left and right on the one stick. Doesn't matter. You just open it up on the phone. You just pick it up and you dab and drag it across and you just...
Oh, so you can use their remote or an app on your phone.
No. The remote is the remote, but you can customize the controls for the remote on your phone.
Oh, okay.
So if you're like, okay, so I've got forwards and backwards, and then I've got bank left and bank right, you can go, no, I want to take the turn left and turn right off the left-hand stick and put them on the right-hand stick, and then those two will go over the other side. And so I've got elevation and then bank on the left stick, and I've got forwards and right and left turn on the right-hand stick. And you can set the controller up however you want, and it does it. There's like a quick button to start recording and to take a snapshot image on the back of the controllers to operate with like the front fingers. It's just brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's so good. I absolutely love it, and it's tiny. Just hang on a second.
This is really cool.
It's there you go. So here's my iPhone 10. 10S Max, right? There's the drone.
Wow.
That's the same. It's shorter by some distance. And then you just you open out the front booms and then twist round the back booms and that's it. It's off and running. Got a little gimbal thing in the front. It flies. It's stable. It's beautiful. I've just flown it in the workshop with the propeller guards on. Because I wanted to see if I could, maneuver it dead easy. And it just creeps forward. It's so under control. If you put it in cinematic mode, then it deliberately flies and the controls are muted a lot more. So you can do very good slow turns and pans and that kind of stuff. I just love it. Absolutely adore it. I've used that more in the last week than I used, than I've used my own drones that I built in the last 3 years. Love it.
That's really cool. I want one. I don't need one, but I want one.
Same.
But the thing is, you go out hiking, Jeff. You stick this on. If you buy the combo pack, you get 3 batteries with it. So that's 75 minutes of flight time. That's massive. So you take it out with you, and you can get it to follow you. You can get it to do a little thing where, you stand on a ridge, and this thing flies away from you. And then the thing is, wherever you start that operation... Once it's flown away and it's finished the shot, it comes back to where you started. So you don't lose the thing. And as long as so things like wind doesn't do brilliantly in the wind. So if you've got a strong wind and a headwind, as you fly it into the headwind, it may actually get nowhere. So you've got to be careful. It can blow away. But it's got the find my drone thing where if you're struggling, you're probably not going to get it back. Save your battery, land it, and then... There's a little icon comes up on your phone, and you just follow your phone to where the GPS tells you that it is on.
That's very cool.
And it lasts as long as the battery lasts. Well, if it's down on the floor, you'll get a good hour to find your battery, to find your drone, because it's not rotating the propellers. But, you know, if you follow simple stuff like you fly it away into the wind so that it comes back with the wind, you won't lose it. Just brilliant. Mm-hmm. Just brilliant. I was absolutely blown away by it. There you go. And I got paid nothing for that advertisement. Well, I say, when you put the prop guards on, I've flown it around in a really crowded workshop in here. I never felt like there was any going to be any issue because I could move it really slowly and under control. But also when it bumps into something, as long as you're not flying into it at high speed, the prop guards just stay there and it's it. Done. Excellent. Where can we get a hold of you, Patrice?
Well, as always, every week I am here on the Mac Show and on the Big Show and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And Jeffrey?
I am over at textexpander.com, the Big Show, the Mac Show, all the other shows that are out there. And I am Gamut on Twitter and Instagram.
I've had a message from Muller. He's at a reunion with his ex-colleagues and he's pissed.
Well, I'm glad he's not driving.
I just didn't know he wasn't. So he said, cool, as long as you're, I've put a, cool, as long as you're safe-ish.
That's all we can ask.
He may be back next week. He may not. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow us at British Tech on the socials. And we've got a channel as well for YouTube. But if you would like to win a Data Color Spider 10 Pro, this is worth about 150 quid. It's a screen calibrator. And if you're a photographer, it's a must have. It's absolutely brilliant. This thing is going to be available for you. Simple. All you got to do is go on YouTube, find our channel, like and subscribe to the videos, and then we will take someone from there, throw them in a hat, and the first two out will get one of these each. We have two to give away thanks to Datacolor and a company called Digital Glue here in Birmingham, and we'll be doing that at the end of February. So you've got a whole month to like and subscribe our stuff on YouTube, and then we will draw it. And we're doing the photo show again, and we've had four in a row now, so it's working. Got a good question awesome. Today. Have a great weekend and enjoy your week. And we'll see you next Friday for more fun. Thanks for listening.